Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm very glad to have our good friend Dr. Diana Fritschkot-Roth back on the show. Diana is a former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. She's currently the director of Economics 21, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She is the author of a number of books, including Regulating the Disaster, including women's figures and other books. But her new book, which she co-authored with Jared Meyer, is called Disinherited: How Washington is Betraying America's Young, and it's just out now. She's here to talk to us about it. Diana Fritschkot-Roth, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be with you.
It's good to have you back. Diana, tell us why you felt motivated to write a book about young people and what's happening to them right now.
Because wherever you look at policy, it's biased in favor of older people and against younger people, and that's just not fair. A lot of people talk about how we're expecting younger people to pay off the deficit and the debt, and that's not fair. But no one's really talking about the bias against young people in education. We keep on older, unqualified teachers, even though it means children have a worse education. Then once they get into college, they graduate with $27,000 of debt on average, and then they have to pay that off as they get to their next job.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get in the labor market, we make that more difficult for them, too. We put in place occupational licensing barriers. We raise the minimum wage. In the summer, we don't let them get unpaid internships at for-profit corporations. They can work in Congress unpaid, or the White House, or a community activist group, but not in a bank or a company.
Mm-hmm.
So we do everything to disadvantage them. Then we make them pay higher health care premiums to subsidize middle-aged and older Americans. And then we expect them to pay off our debt. They have a raw deal, and they need to know it.
Do you think they have any idea? I mean, I know that they feel some of this pressure, but as a group, do you think is there any organization about this? Are they rising up anywhere about this?
So far, they're not. But one object of our book is to encourage them to do so, because when we go down the issue step by step, we say, is it fair that an older, unqualified teacher be kept in place, even though she can't teach? They say no.
Now, when we say older, I agree with you about unqualified.
Well, all I'm saying is they're older than the children they're teaching.
Right, right. No. But you mean they've been around a while? They've outlasted their competence.
Well, some of them weren't competent to begin with, but
right.
They're protected by these union
the
rules.
Unions, the teachers' unions. I never will forget hearing a teachers' union leader say when a student starts paying union dues, he'll start advocating for students. Have you heard that before?
Yes, and I think it's just wonderful.
I mean, how horrible is the statement? Like, what kind of values? Why would anybody want their child be in a system that was being controlled by a person with those kind of values?
You just wouldn't. No. And besides that, half of all public school staff members work in non-teaching roles.
Right.
From 1950 to 2010, non-teaching positions in public schools increased by 700%. So schools are spending a lot of money on administration, where they could be teaching, where they could be spending it on teachers.
And here's another story inside of your story about the student loans. Number one, it's the student loans are the second highest debt sector in the economy, as I understand it, Diana. And also, when they started getting loans easily back in the last decade, over the last 10 years, let's say, when students started being able to get really easy money to not only pay for tuition but to live on, colleges started realizing, well, they're not earning this money, so we can go up on our tuition, and they did, and that just exacerbated things, didn't it?
Exactly, because as schools raise tuition, the federal government raises the loan amount, so you can borrow more and more, and that's what students are doing. 70% of graduates of the class of 2012 needed loans, and the total debt for that class, the average debt approached $30,000.
And many of them that I know, I mean, I'm not even talking about from Ivy League schools. I know kids that are graduating from college and without a job prospect, owing a house.
It's just terrible.
How are they going to buy a house if they leave college owing a house?
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible situation.
And look at what that's doing to their psyche, to their thought process, to their thinking about the future. When we come back, one of the things I want to talk about is how what's happened, how Washington has contributed to this, especially in the area of healthcare and retirement. 20 till right back with Diana Fritschgott Roth. The book is called Disinherited.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.